down the road, you'd be more disappointed by the things you didn't do than the ones you did. So dream, explore, say yes to life. Be inspired to live life as an exciting adventure of discovery. You are listening to the Inspire Possibility Show, and I'm your host, Mark Susnow. Everybody, thanks for tuning in to the Inspire Possibility Show. And today we're going to have another amazing guest. I think it's going to stimulate you. And you know, the idea of our show is to kind of get you thinking in a different way, to inspire you to think bigger, to think about possibilities, to think about things that maybe you just forgot about. You forgot about thinking, well, maybe it's just not happening. And you know, one of those topics that it's kind of hard for a lot of people to talk about is, there are two topics. One is money, but we're not going to talk about money today. But the other is sex. And I know that it's challenging for a lot of people to talk about their sex life. And a lot of, so anyway, when I got this request to have Jhené Pallez be on my show, she's a world-famous sex educator. And she has a new book out called Living an Orgasmic Life. And so I wanted to hear her ideas. And she believes that when you live an orgasmic life, you can heal yourself and obviously awaken your pleasure. And some people refer to her, the book, as a love letter for anyone who's faced challenges with their sex life. And those who have been alienated from their erotic side due to sexual abuse or trauma will find a healing balm in these pages. Women and men who have difficulty surrendering to pleasure, who can't sustain intimacy, or want to reclaim and feel empowered in their sexuality will significantly benefit from this book. So welcome, Jhené Pallez, to the Inspire. How did I do with your name, by the way?
You did really great with the first name. The last name... Yeah.
Okay, I need some more work on that.
They Americanized it.
All right. Okay,
but
I'm going to go back to school.
You did awesome. you did awesome.
Yeah.
Thanks for having
me.
I'm excited to be here.
Well, I'm excited to have you, too, because it's such I don't want to sound cliche-ish, but such a juicy subject, right, to talk about sexuality, orgasms, and trauma, and what I noticed is one of the things your publicist said was that in 20% of the marriages, they call them sexless, and what do you mean by that? What do you mean by what exactly is a sexless marriage or a loveless marriage, or not even marriage, but just relationship?
Yeah, those are great questions, and I think they're different. So officially, I'm not sure who officially came up with this, probably somewhere in the Psychological Association. A sexless marriage is if you are having you're having intercourse less than 10 times a year. So if you're having sex less than 10 times a year, you are, quote, officially in a sexless marriage. That's the official definition of a sexless marriage. I don't think it takes into consideration the fact that there may be couples who are having sex 10 or 12 times a year and they're having sex once a month and it's absolutely amazing, right? So
right.
It's as with every time we try to, you know, characterize something, there's always obviously outliers and exceptions to the rule. So that's what a sexless marriage is. A loveless marriage, that's a really interesting question because I don't know if there's any statistics or data on what a loveless marriage is, but there's probably a lot of people that are living in loveless marriages that may still be having sex or may not be having sex, right?
Uh-huh.
There's definitely, you know,
right,
as they call it, the silent divorce, like I'm still in the marriage, I'm not divorced, but we're essentially divorced, you know? That's
right.
Very common, unfortunately, in long-term relationships.
Uh-huh. So I know we don't know each other that well, but I always like to, I'm always curious when, I always come from the mindset that when somebody writes a book about something, it's they, you know, we teach what we want to learn. And I'm just wondering what was going on in your life that kind of motivated you, inspired you, drove you to kind of become an expert in this field.
Yeah, well, I had a big story to tell because I have not always been a sex and intimacy coach. I actually am a lawyer by training. I think you told me you're a lawyer by training as well.
Right.
And yeah, there's that lawyer thing. And I was living, I haven't always been living in the West Coast. I grew up in New York and lived on the East Coast most of my life. But I was in a sexless marriage, which definitely met that definition, and then some. I was married for close to 26 years.
Wow.
And yeah, and 15 of those years, we didn't have sex. We didn't sleep together in the same room. Like, we weren't even in the same beds. And when I finally left that marriage, there was a lot of reasons for that, which a lot of which had to do with my own shame and experiences I had as a child, some trauma that I had, the fact that sex was uncomfortable and painful for me always. And so it really felt good for me to stop having sex. It was such a relief, but I also felt so terribly, terribly broken, which is what happens to so many women and men, but especially women, if they feel like they cannot have sex. It doesn't work for them. And when I decided to leave my marriage, and it was quite amicable, I knew that I had to figure this out because I was still young. I was in my late 40s. I was still really young, and I knew I needed to figure it out. And so I did. I took a deep dive into the world of sexuality, and just by happenstance, my very first experience was with a man in New York City who had done a little bit of tantra. I had no idea what tantra was. He was hardly a tantra master, but he had like taken a weekend workshop, and he offered for us to do a session, a night of goddess worship is what he called it. And I had no idea what that was, but I was like, okay, I'm open to experiencing that. It sounds kind of cool. And that was my first, experience with sexuality coming from a different place than how I had learned about it and how I had experienced it in the past. And it was very, very powerful and a very significant turn in my life.
Could you just for our listeners, some of them might not be familiar with what tantric sex is, could you perhaps simplify and give a simplified explanation of it? Because I
Sure.
know we could spend hours on it.
We could totally, and we're not going to, because I'm gonna tell you what tantra means. So the way tantra is defined is the definition of tantra is to weave. And what we weave when we are involved in tantric practices is we weave our physical body with the energy that surrounds us and our connection with spirit. So it's really an attempt to have a much more mindful practice around sexuality, connect with the energy that's already running through our body, but connect with our sexual energy, bring that together with our partner, and then really try to bring the spiritual component, whatever it is you believe in, into the bedroom. Sometimes I say that Tantra is about bringing spirit into the bedroom with you. So it's a more, how do I say this? I feel like it's a more sacred way to experience sexuality with a partner, which is why it's called sacred sexuality.
Well, that is a great way of explaining it. I mean, I'm somewhat familiar with Tantra, and after a while, I've lived in Marin for many, many years. But I like
You kind of have to be.
your definition. I mean, I just think it's very simple, easy to understand, and I like that. So this book is not your first book, right? Living an Orgasmic Life. You have other books out there, I believe. Is that correct?
Oh, no, this is definitely my first book.
So this is your baby.
I mean it.
This is your baby.
This is my baby. I birthed my baby. This is totally my baby. Absolutely.
Right.
Absolutely.
Wow, congratulations. And,
Thank you.
That must have felt great doing that, huh?
Yeah, it felt really great. And you know what's really feeling great is, like, in this book, I talk a lot about my personal journey, and then I talk about, like, clients, and I talk about my philosophy, and with lots of tools and practices. But what feels really great is, like, the reviews that the book is getting and people emailing me just, you know, out of the blue and just saying, oh, my God, I read this chapter of your book and I understand so much more about this, or I tried this practice and that really helped me release the shame and judgment I've been holding, or, you know, like, it's been so rewarding for people who I don't know to be just, like, saying, like, wow, this is actually making a difference.
I love that.
Really beautiful.
Love that.
Somebody said to me, like, because I'm so vulnerable and raw in this book, she's like, you're like my best friend. I don't even know you, but I feel like you're my best friend taking me on this journey. And I was like, perfect. That's exactly what I wanted to happen.
Right. What I liked is his author, Jhené Pallier, notes, I wrote this book because I'm passionate about helping individuals who feel broken reclaim their sexuality and their pleasure and transform their lives. I want women who are struggling with sex to understand that help is available and that they can have healthy, passionate sex lives. I wrote this book, this is what I really like, for the 20-year-old who was date raped, the 30-year-old mom who was traumatized during childbirth, the 40-year-old divorced woman who has never experienced an orgasm, the 50-year-old who is struggling with menopause and low libido, and the 60-plus-year-old woman who is ready to explore her sexuality and experience orgasmic bliss. I like that a lot. I think that's great. Yeah.
Thank you.
Yes.
Yeah. And it's all true, right? It's all true.
Yeah. Yeah. So some of the things that I said is that this idea of is so difficult to talk about sex for so many people, and you want to talk about that a little bit?
Yeah, you were so right when you said, you know, sex and money are the two most challenging things for people to talk about, and those are the two issues that couples fight about the most, right? It's absolutely true. And I think for both related and different reasons, but, you know, certainly issues around not being able to talk about sex, it goes back to our childhood, goes back to the way many of us were socialized by parents, either not talking about sex, not modeling healthy sexuality. It goes back to the messages that we received from religious institutions, the church, from cultural institutions. And so many of those messages, Mark, are frankly very negative messages. They're certainly not sex positive messages. And they're slightly different messages that women get. Well, they're not more than slightly different. They're actually pretty different. Messages that women get around sexuality and men get around sexuality are different. But, you know, there's still like a layer of shame that is just woven into it. And, you know, I even address this in my book because it seems so hypocritical because in some ways sex is everywhere. You know, like they use sex to sell hamburgers, right? And yet, like, we still can't talk about it. And if you look back, and I'm sure you know this, if you look back at ancient, really ancient cultures, there was a lot of appreciation and worship of sexuality. That's really where the sexual goddess came from. And, you know, none of that exists in today's culture, certainly not in North America. And so, you know, I blame it on the Puritans, right? Really, all the way back to there, when, you know, all of a sudden, everything that was delicious and pleasurable and wonderful, there was just a tremendous amount of repression that started happening, and we're still living with that. We're totally living with that, those consequences.
You in your book, you refer to a sexual blueprint and how we can learn to read that. Can you explain what this our sexual blueprint is and how we and what it is and how we learn to read that? And I'm sure it's different for men and women.
Totally. So it's kind of what I just said. So the sexual blueprint, you know, not unlike a blueprint of your house, which contains all the structural elements, right? You know, there's about 7 or 10 elements that are part of it, but messages that you received about sex from your parents, the modeling that your parents did, were they cuddling? Did they hold hands? Did they sleep in the same beds? Right? Early child sexual experiences that you might have had, either exploring your body or exploring somebody else's body as a child, and how what the reaction was to that, potentially by parents. Early initial sexual experiences, the first time you had sex, the first time you made out, like how things that happened to you the very first time you got sexual and whether they were positive or negative. Obviously, any type of sexual child early childhood trauma is a huge piece of it, sexual abuse. And then, like I said, you know, what were you told by your religious institutions? Were you brought up Catholic? Were you brought up, you know, with other types of beliefs? Are you come from a different country where there's a whole different set of mores and cultural beliefs around sex? All of that forms our sexual blueprint. And however that blueprint is formed, that is how we relate to sex as an adult. And typically, when we look at our blueprint, we begin to realize, and this is where the powerful piece comes in, that these beliefs are actually not your own. And when you realize that these beliefs are not your own, it's much easier to be able to say, okay, these aren't my own. Let me really think about what my own beliefs are and let go of those false beliefs. That's what we mean, I think. That's what I mean by false beliefs. Like, they weren't even yours to begin with.
And
so
if they're not yours,
these are
like beliefs that you've adopted from your parents or a church or whatever, school or whatever. Is that what you're
or
kind
society.
Of saying?
Society, yeah. And society, right? The societal norms, you know, that we've all been taught around sex, the horrible sex education, all that stuff. Yep.
So what I'm kind of hearing, what I think you're saying is that one way to really discover your own beliefs is that you have to be open to new experiences, to new sexual experiences.
You have to be open to new sexual experiences. I always say curiosity, right?
Mm-hmm.
Be curious. Right? Explore.
Be curious,
uh-huh. right? See, you know, what do I want to do? What might I've never done that I've wanted to do before?
Right.
You know, and, you know, if this is something that makes me feel uncomfortable, be curious. Why am I feeling uncomfortable about this? Is this because my mom, you know, I got all these messages that, you know, you shouldn't have, I'll just use it, throw this out, like you shouldn't have, you know, a threesome? Like, did I get all these negative messages around that? Or is it because I really just don't want to be with two people at the same time? So really, you know, really examine where these beliefs are coming from and then figure out what's true for you and what is something that you can let go because it's really not a belief of your own.
So what's interesting, your book, the way it was presented to me, it was mainly for women. And then I was thinking, well, for a man, right, to understand women is great. To have a book that really talks about women and their sexuality is like, as you said in your thing, or the publicist, it's like a gift from God. You know, it's like, hey, this is how women think, because men and women, it's so hard for them to understand each other. around relationships and around sexuality. What are the differences? I know you alluded to that, and I guess you went off on another tangent, but what are the different perspectives of term sexuality of men and women?
So I think when I look at the differences between the sexuality of men and women, I identify two main pieces. One is the physiology of it, that men are more connected to their genitals than women are connected to their genitals, simply because men wear their arousal on the outside of their body, their arousal equipment on the outside of the body, and all of women's arousal network, which is extensive, is internal. And therefore, men have different experiences around arousal. It is much more front and center, and they have different experiences in puberty around arousal than women have. So I believe that, you know, I feel strongly that men are much more sexually connected to themselves and to their sex than women are. We have a big physiological difference there. And the second part of this are that the message, and this is similarly related, the messages that typically that, you know, again, we're talking about boys and girls or teenagers receive around sex are different, right? Because women are still, you know, slut-shamed if they want to be sexual, and often by other women, right? Many are told, keep your legs shut, you know, the messages are don't get pregnant, you know, all this guy wants is to get into your pants. And when I look at how men are taught around sexuality, you know, it's more like high five in the locker room. You got laid last night, right? It's a very different dynamic, and it creates, you know, a different experience around sex.
So what you're saying is that for women, when you say internal, what exactly do you mean by that? Do you mean emotional? No,
I'm literally talking physiologically. Like, you know, the women's arousal, women have a very extensive set of, it's called an arousal network, but it's really like all of our nerve endings from nipples to clitoris. Most of it is internal, right? It's internal. It's inside of our bodies. Like the only two parts of our entire arousal network that are outside are our nipples, which tend to be very, very sensitive, and, you know, a very small portion of a woman's clitoris is external, and even that is covered by a hood. So we are much more disconnected from sensation than men are in terms of the way their penis is situated, right? Everything's external for them. So you get aroused and you actually feel that in your body much more than women
right.
do. Does that make sense? Yeah. That's what I mean.
Kind of. It's interesting. An old girlfriend of mine who is very mystical, this is a long time ago, she referred to the male as the sun, right? It was always predictable. He knew when the sun was going to rise and when it was going to set. Where with the woman, she referred to as the moon. And the moon was more mystical, more unpredictable. Because it never really, you don't know where it's going to set, really. Could set it, you know,
totally.
One morning at 2 in the morning, the next 6 in the morning, or next 9 at night. It was more all over the board. And what's interesting as a man, and when I talk to other guys about women, a lot of us, women are crazy. And guys, men kind of know what they want, and women
right.
are, they know what they want too, but it takes them, it's a longer
right.
process
well,
to get there.
It's a way longer process, and the reason it's a longer process is because most of your erectile tissue is easy to access, right, and it's external, and most of our erectile tissue is not easy to access, and it's internal, and women and men just have very different ways from generally speaking, and these are broad generalizations, of course, there's definitely not everybody will agree with me on this and has this experience, but we do have different ways, you know, that we get aroused. You know, most women take a lot more time for their body to warm up, and, you know, they're like a, I like to say it, it's like a cake that needs to be baked in the oven. We bake from the outside in, right? Which is really different. We're way more complicated. It's absolutely true. That's why I don't think they'll ever be able to come up with a pharmaceutical drug that will actually help women's libido and arousal the way Viagra did, because it's not the same mechanism that's going on between the two bodies. And then there's the emotional piece too, which for women is huge, right? Huge.
Right. So we're kind of running out of time. And what I like to do is there are some questions, since this is the Inspire Possibility Show, that I like to ask all my guests. And one of them is what inspires you right now?
What inspires me right now? You know, what really inspires me right now is what's going on in the country and how people are so activated, including myself, around understanding really that democracy is something that we can't take for granted and that we have to actually go out and work for it and vote. And it's been very inspiring for me to see the level of interest and the level of activism, frankly, on both sides of the aisle that is that's happening right now. I've never experienced that ever, you know, as an American, and it's extraordinarily inspiring for me.
It is amazing. I mean, supposedly they're having record turnouts for a midterm election today. What are you grateful? What are you most grateful for in your life?
Oh, that's such a great question. I would say that I'm grateful that I'm able to really connect with my intuition, so that I really have allowed it to guide me to make the huge changes that I've made in my life in the last 10 years. Would not have been possible if I didn't trust that there was some guidance that was happening and that guidance was happening inside of me as well. I'm very, very grateful for that.
And if there's one thing you could say to our listeners, right, one short sentence, what would that be?
About anything in their life? Okay, what I would say to you is, there's two things. One is, like, if you're feeling helpless and broken around sexuality, don't live with it, go get help. And the second piece I would say is that sexuality is one of the most powerful doors to huge amounts of personal transformation and growth. And that's one of the reasons that I feel like everybody deserves and needs to be able to really connected with their sexuality, because it's not just about pleasure. That's huge. But it's also about, like, making fabulous changes and transforming yourself as a human being.
Wow. So thanks to Janae Palier for being our guest on the Inspire Possibility Show. She has a new book out. So... And let us tell everybody how they can get your book,
Living an Orgasmic Life is available on Amazon, Barnes & Noble, IndieBound. You can also find information about it on my website. And my website is powerofpleasure.com.
Powerofpleasure.com. What a great URL. I like that.
I know, right?
Yeah, I love
it. Story for
I
that
love
one
it.
Too.
I love it. I love it. So, thanks so much for being our guest on the Inspire Possibility Show. I encourage everybody to get Janae's book. Thanks again to our guest, Janae Palier. And until next week, journey on. Thank you. Thanks for listening. I hope you feel inspired to take the next step in your life. And if you haven't already, please take the time to visit my website at inspirepossibility.com and discover the various services and products we offer that could just very well change your life.